You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 32, where we left off last time. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Excuse me. Before we begin, I want to invite every prayer warrior in America to join me each Wednesday at 6 p.m. for effectual, fervent prayer because our country is between life and death. We're going to pray for President Trump and for America. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast. I am in Suntree, Florida, right beside the Produce Place. I am at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Wednesday, 6 p.m., Sundays, 5 p.m. And now, Acts chapter 9, verse 32. This Acts chapter 9 is divided up into two scenes. We had the first one last week, and I called it free will or choice, because that first scene was about a man who was chosen from before the foundation of the world, and his name was Saul. He will later be called Paul. He was converted on the road to Damascus, and the curtain went down. However, he shall return. Now the curtain goes up on the second scene of Acts chapter 9, verse 32. I am calling this the word of his power. Again, we see a chosen man of God, Peter, one of the 12 apostles, the first preacher of the first church right there in Jerusalem. The church is growing by leaps and bounds.
32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters,
he was preaching the gospel of Jesus right there in the Jerusalem area, right where the remaining tribes were.
He came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydia. 33.
Notice it was a saint, so it was still only the 12 tribes, only the Israelites.
And there we found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy.
That means he was paralyzed for 8 years. Now, eight's a new beginning. Here comes a new beginning.
Amen. 34. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole.
Now, don't you love that? Yeah. See, we are to be just like children. Right here in this place, and all of you out there on the internet and radio, right where you are, if you're Christian, Jesus is. And Jesus is alive. So Jesus makes you whole. I mean, what is your doubt? We're to be like a child. If Jesus is there, the healing is there. Amen. So he's not arrogant. He's not being bossy. He's just saying, Jesus makes you whole. So I say to all you sick people who believe in Jesus, Jesus make you whole.
Amen.
Right now.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Arise and make thy bed.
In other words, now you got to do something. See, we got to hear the word. The first thing Peter did is hear the word. Jesus Christ, make your whole. All right, that's the word. Now do something. Faith is an act. Get up and make your bed. Over the many years of praying for people to be healed, I've seen miracles. I've seen people come back from the dead. I've seen it all. Praise God. To him be the glory. He did it. But I have noticed that a few people don't want to get healed because they have to make their bed or they have to go to work.
And he arose immediately.
Immediately. Jesus is in the house.
35. And all that dwelt at Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord.
Why did they all get turned to the Lord? Because there were no denominations. Paul says, have no schisms, have no divisions, have no denominations. They didn't have Baptists and Methodists and Lutheran Episcopal and all this mess. And they had no traditions of men. They had one Lord, one baptism, and one Holy Spirit. So see, when we're in accord, one accord, and we know that Jesus is Lord, His Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, miracles automatically happen. Why? Because Peter was filled with the word of his power. Jesus is the living word, and where the word of his power is, there will always be miracles.
Amen.
We've got a miracle right here in our place. Donna's been healed. Praise God. Hallelujah.
36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha.
Tabitha's name means gazelle, which means a deer. The psalmist says, as a deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul pants after you. Parentheses, my beautiful sister in South Carolina, Myrtle, like a garden in the garden of the a flower in the garden of the Lord, has a beautiful daughter named Tabitha. Tabitha pants after the water brook like this gazelle.
Which by interpretation is called Dorcas.
Dorcas, a seller of purple. Now, Tabitha was a great woman of God. She taught God's word, and she was also a successful businesswoman. She made beautiful purple materials, which was considered royalty then, and she would have Bible classes down by the seashore.
This woman was full of good works.
She was a wonderful woman of God.
And alms deeds, which she did.
She gave to God's work like she's supposed to, and she gave to the poor.
37. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died.
Suddenly.
Whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber.
All right. Now, thank goodness they didn't go and put her in a hole in the ground. They put her in an upper room. Now, I want to tell you something, Christians. You need to stop living like the world. This world is gone totally bonkers. It's crazy. We are supposed to be Christians. Jesus told us to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Amen. And our Jesus is alive, and He's given us the Holy Spirit, and it's a command. Now, she's dead. What do you do when somebody dies? Oh, it's too late. Call the undertaker. Or do you call the man or woman of God and say, pray they'll come back alive? Do you know that's what we're supposed to do?
Yeah,
Jesus is alive. Do you not know that?
Yes, amen.
38. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh unto Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent it to him two men, desiring of him that he would not delay to come to them.
Now understand, they were Christians. They knew that Jesus says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. And so they knew Jesus was alive. They didn't have all of these people say, oh no, that was for then. Oh no, the doctor said, oh no, the funeral director said, oh no, the government said, oh no, the news said, They knew one thing, the word of God.
Yeah,
so they called for the person of God. I have found it interesting because there's been either one of two reactions. Someone would call and say, Sherry, you don't need to pray for so-and-so anymore. They just died. Okay, so in other words, forget that. Now, of course, that's not the way I would look at it. Another would say, Sherry, somebody just died, but pray. See,
Amen.
That's what we should do. Pray they come back alive.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Amen.
I've seen people come back alive because we prayed. I don't do it. God does it. It's the way He said. He told
Amen.
You to raise the dead, Christian.
Amen.
When are you going to do that?
Great.
When are you going to be a real Christian? When are you going to stop playing church?
39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made.
They loved her so much. They should have been praying. They were crying. Isn't that what you do when trouble hits? Oh, the doctor said. Oh, the employer said. Oh, the coronavirus says. Oh, this says. Why are you not praying?
Amen.
You are in the kingdom of God. God is our Father.
Amen.
Greater is He who's in us than He who's in the world.
Amen. That's right.
While she was with them. 40. But Peter put them all forth.
Hallelujah. Now, the first thing you do, if you're going to be praying for people to rise from the dead or have miracles, get all of the doubters out. I've found that usually everybody leaves, okay, but get them out. Now, Peter learned that from Jesus. Remember, Jairus wanted him to come and pray for his little daughter who had died. Jesus put out all the naysayers. They said, she's dead, it's too late, she's dead. Jesus said, she's sleeping. They laughed at him. Peter, James, and John went in there, and Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Peter did the right thing. Now, if you're really going to be a real Christian and stop being a boring one and a useless one, if you're going to raise the dead, heal the sick, and cast out demons, you're going to have to get rid of the doubting people around you. I don't mean you hate them, you don't kill them, you don't hit them, you just don't let them be in your place. One person, when we're praying the prayer of agreement, not agreeing, messes it all up. We have intercessory prayer over here every Wednesday night. I love everybody in the world. I'm inviting people to pray. But if you don't believe that God will work a miracle for what we're praying for, then just go somewhere else. Amen. And you have to learn. Many times, I just have to pray by myself. But God wants a majority. Amen. Don't ever try to get anybody to agree with you. If they don't agree, love them and get them out of the room.
Amen.
Amen. I kneeled down and prayed.
Now, Peter kneeled down and prayed. Now, he didn't say, Lord, if it be your will, please heal Tabitha. I know you can do it, but I know it looks kind of bad here. No. The Holy Spirit groaned through Peter. He prayed through Peter with groanings which cannot be uttered, that Peter prayed according to the Father's will. Paul would later describe that in Romans 8:26. And when the Holy Spirit prays, the power comes there. Peter's already filled with the Word of God, and he's walked with the living Word of God, Jesus. He's packed with Jesus. God stripes you, heal those words. The Holy Spirit's there. And so he's got the power now, and he's got the Word, and he's going to use the Word of his power. When's the last time you used the Word of your power? When?
I turned him to the body and said.
All right. What you do, you're filled with the Word. You got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, you've just prayed. The Holy Spirit hit you. You turn toward the object of your prayer. And you send. It shoots out of you, out of your belly, shall flow rivers of living water. Onto the object. And they are either healed, or they come alive, or they get saved, or the demon flees, or something happens.
Amen.
Got it?
Amen. Yep.
You actually send it. You release it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Tabitha, arise.
Now, here he goes again, being bossy. No, he just believes like a child. When are you going to be a child and believe that Jesus meant what he said? See, most Christians don't live at all like you believe it. Oh, you believe in Jesus, and you don't want to go to hell, and you go to church. But, I mean, do you live a miraculous life? Do things change because you're there? Do you know the whole county ought to change? Amen. And with God's help, we're going to change Florida. Amen. Because of what we're doing here. Not us, but because Jesus is here. Because the Holy Spirit's here. Because the Word of his power is here.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
As she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up.
Okay, she heard the word of his power, and she obeyed. The word brought her back.
41, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up.
Now what he did then, he calls her to act. Faith is an act. Once you pray for someone, whatever it is, if it's sickness or death or anything, cause them, make them do an act as though the prayer were answered. Faith is an act. See, you start, come on, you have to move. Don't ever, when you're praying someone, don't just leave them lying there doing that. Smith Wigglesworth, he was another Arab. He used to think they would bring dead people to him, and he was just preaching away. He'd prop them up on the wall. And he said, I said, Jesus' name, live. He'd prop them up on the wall. He said, get up there and live. They'd fall down. He said, get up there and live. Finally, they'd get up and live.
Amen. Amen.
Faith is an act. Hallelujah. Don't you want it?
Yeah.
This is what we're supposed to be, church.
Amen.
We're not going to be dead anymore. Understand? No dead.
Yeah.
Amen.
And when he called the saints and widows, presented her alive.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tabitha. Your gazelle is alive and well.
Amen.
42. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord.
The word of his power was working miracles. Easy to believe.
43. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon the tanner. Acts chapter 10, verse 1.
Now, we move on to this one, and I am calling this All Lives Matter.
Amen.
All lives matter.
Amen. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius.
Cornelius' name means of the horn. A horn symbolizes power. This was a man of power.
A centurion of the band called the Italian Band.
Now what that tells us, he was not Hebrew. He was not the seed of Abraham. He was not one of the 12 tribes. He was a commanding officer in the Roman army, and he had at least 100 men under him, even 800. But he was a very powerful man. Keep in mind, he was not the seed of Abraham. He was not Hebrew. He was not one of the 12 tribes.
Verse 2. A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which...
He loved God, and he got all of his house to love God. A real man gets his house to love God, too.
Amen. Gave much alms to the people.
He gave money for the synagogue, and he gave to the poor.
And prayed to God always.
Prayed without ceasing. Now there's just one thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ had not yet been opened to the Gentiles. A Gentile is anyone who is not the seed of Abraham. It doesn't mean that God didn't mean to. Jesus says, I have come but to the lost house of Israel. It's an inside job. When God called Abraham, he was the only man on planet Earth that had a heart toward God. Everybody else were heathen. So from Abraham's lineage came Jesus the Messiah. And Jesus had just gone back to heaven. So it was just right there. Peter, James, and John, they were all Hebrew. So at this point, the gospel was only to the seed of Abraham. But it's getting time for the door to open. So, because all lives matter, whosoever will may come.
Amen.
3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour.
This is about 3 p.m., so he's not asleep.
Day, an angel of God coming in unto him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Verse 4. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord?
Yes, Lord.
And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms have come up for memorial before God.
I can tell you something. If you're seeking God with all your heart, and you don't know whether you even do it right, if every day of your life, the first thing you do is go before God and you pray, and it's not give me, give me, give me. It's you praying for other people. And if you give to God, and if you give to the poor, I will tell you that there is a point in your life that God is going to reward you. Keep on praying and keep on giving. This would be two of the most powerful weapons you have in your arsenal to survive and overcome and live victoriously. Pray and give. God notices.
Yep, he does.
5. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. 6. Who lodges with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside, who shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do.
Now, why does Cornelius need to be told what to do? Because he wants God. He's heard of this Jesus, and he's heard of a Messiah. But nobody's told him that he could be saved. He needs somebody to tell him that God sent his son and that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, and he paid the sin debt. How to confess, how to repent, how to accept Jesus. He doesn't know that, but he wants to be saved. But see, he's not one of the tribes. He's not the seed of Abraham. He needs instruction. Now, it was understood that if a person were not saved, they're called unclean. If a person saved, they're called clean. But see, you and I, before we got saved, we were unclean. Yes. Our sins were like filthy rags, right?
Yes.
But now we're clean because Jesus' blood has washed us clean. So anyone who was not saved was called unclean. Anyone saved was called clean. And right now, only that little area right there, the tribes there, and the seed of Abraham was saved. But all lives matter.
Amen.
7. And when the angel that spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually.
One of his armor bearers. So he's got 3 faithful servants.
8. And when he had declared all these things unto them.
Notice what he did. Now he's going to send them to get Peter. He doesn't even know Peter. He's not going to say, go get these men. I'm not going to tell you why. He's totally honest. When God tells you to do something, make sure that the people around you who are to aid you understand where you're coming from. Let them know if you're totally called of God, that you're called of God. You teenagers, don't you even hook up on your cell phone except to win a soul to Jesus, except to be friendly. Anybody around you, if you're called of God, they must know your heart. Amen. If they don't accept your heart, they're going to mess it up. You're going to mess up your life.
Amen.
He sent them to Joppa. 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the 6th hour.
It's about 12 noon, almost lunchtime.
10. And he became very hungry.
Now, he wasn't hungry when he started to go up there because Peter prays a long time and he lets God talk to him. If he'd been hungry, he would have had a little turkey sandwich or something, but God pushed his belly button because God's going to teach him in a parable, a metaphor, an allegory, not about food, but about people who are saved or lost, clean or unclean, and that God came to save all people because to God all lives matter.
Amen.
Yeah. And we had eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance.
Okay, they're going to cook him some food, so food's on the way.
11. And he saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, at the 4 corners, and let down to the earth.
Great big sheet coming from heaven. What's in it?
12. Wherein were all manner of 4-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air.
Everything in that sheet was filthy and it make you sick to your stomach, and the doctors would say, don't eat that. Everything that was in that sheet, Peter would know this, is written in Leviticus chapter 11. God made our bodies, and he said, some things are good for your body to eat. It's good for you. They're clean. Some things don't eat. They'll hurt your body. Those things that are unclean have another purpose. In other words, they are nature's vacuum cleaner. Some of those things unclean eat the mice and the dead roaches and the snakes and the rotten tomatoes, and some of them on the bottom of the ocean, they eat the filthy diseases and dead diseased fish and others. In other words, they crawl, they eat the germs. In other words, they are vacuum cleaners, but you don't eat them. But everything in there is unclean. Now, the 4-footed beast, Leviticus 11 says, don't eat it unless it chews the cud and parts the hoof. Uh-oh, no cow there. Okay, but there was a pig there. A pig does not chew the cud, but it parts the hoof. A pig doesn't sweat, so all of those dead mice and dead snakes and human waste and rotten tomatoes that the pig eats, they stay there, and then when you cook it, yummy, yummy, yummy. Okay, and so that's unclean. It makes you sick. Okay. And then there are the snails. Don't eat those. They crawl. You don't want to eat those. Let's see. There's the lobster, the shrimp. Don't eat those because Leviticus 11 says if it doesn't have fins and if it doesn't have scales, don't eat it. Rabbits, you don't eat rabbits because it does chew the cud and part the hoof. Okay, catfish. Can't eat catfish. You got to have scales and fins. Now, listen, this is God. Y'all can get mad at God, all right? And then the same thing about the buzzards or something about the craw. I want everybody to go home and read Leviticus chapter 11. Now, I know somebody, now just a minute. Jesus died on the cross, so now we can eat all this stuff. You think Jesus died on the cross for a pig or for a snail or for a shrimp or an escargot that's got all kind of waste in it? No. Paul says, and people want to preach this, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3, Paul says, in the latter times, people are going to come and say, abstain from meats. Don't eat things made to eat. No. God's not telling you not to eat meat. You need some meat. You may eat turkey. You may eat steak. You may eat certain kinds of fish and certain kinds of birds and certain kinds of things. But he says things made to eat. Leviticus 11 tells you what things are made to eat. Jesus died on the cross, not for your belly, but so that your soul might have eternal life. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I'll let you decide what you're going to do about that. My hands are clean. Okay.
13. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat."
Now, Peter's in a conundrum here. Here's why. Because Peter knows Leviticus chapter 11. And Peter knows that God's word is forever settled in heaven, that God changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he does not lie. So God says, don't eat this stuff, and now a voice is saying, eat it. I would say, when in doubt, do without. Now, what's happening with Peter? His brain's beginning to jumpstart. Wait just a minute. God must be going to show me something here, because I know he wouldn't tell me to break his word. See, God will never tell you to go against his word. Peter knows that.
14. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean."
In other words, those animals that we call unclean not to eat, they have a wonderful purpose. They're nature's vacuum cleaner. In other words, I've got a vacuum cleaner. I clean the upper room in there, but I would never open it up and cook it, make soup out of it, you see. But it's a wonderful vacuum cleaner. The pigs and the lobster and the shrimp and the catfish, they eat the debris. They eat the waste and everything. And the buzzards, okay, they eat the roadkill. And the snails and the snakes and the escargot. Okay.
15. And the voice spake to him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, call not that common."
Now, there's the message. Peter says, oh, Jesus always spake in parables. He calls you a tree. Are you a tree? No. He says, if you win souls, you bear fruit. I don't see any bananas or grapes coming off of anybody, but I know some of you bear fruit. Understand? It's a metaphor and allegory. Clean, unclean. The saved are clean, the lost are unclean. And at this point, only the Abrahamic seed was saved. All else were lost, unclean. But God's opening the door, because all lives matter.
Amen. 16. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. 17. Now while Peter doubted within himself what this vision which he had seen,
he's praying and asking for guidance,
should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate.
He's about to see them, and he will immediately understand. God says, before you call, I will answer. While you're yet speaking, I will hear.
18. And called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, were lodged there. 19. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him,
Holy Spirit is right there. He's your guide.
Behold, three men seek thee. 20. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have set them.
So Peter goes down. As soon as he sees them, he recognizes that they are Gentiles. And then he says, oh, that's it. God told us not to even ever become unequally yoked. You are never to be unequally yoked with a lost person. You love them, you pray for them, you're friendly with them, but you don't get close to them because they're going to bring you down. Very rarely does a person bring another one up. Teenagers, don't even have the first little date there. For God's sake, take care of your life. You're going to mess it up because the sex will get in and all of that emotion will get in and you'll think you're going to change them. You're not going to do it. And so he's going to see, oh, I see what you mean. Whosoever will may come.
21. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent to him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore you have come?
How do you do? I am Peter. What can I do for you?
22. And they said, Cornelius, a centurion and just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the elders that were there.
Now, you notice I did not say Jews. That's the incorrect translation. The Greek says Eudas. The word J-E-W-S is totally incorrect. I know the whole world says it. It's either a resident of Judea, or our beloved brother Judah, who's one of the 12 tribes, or a Kenite, K-E-N-I-T-E, who says he's Judah, but not the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9-3:9. In this case, they're saying that people in that area respect Cornelius.
Was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee unto his house, and to hear words of thee.
In other words, a holy angel told Cornelius, Peter, to send for you. He wants to hear the wonderful words of life. He wants you to tell him about the Messiah. Is Jesus the Son of God? Tell him how he died, how he rose, how he shed his blood. How do I get saved? What do I do? Come and tell me the story of Jesus.
23. Then called he them in and lodged them.
Very hospitable.
And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him.
That was very smart of Peter. He brings Holy Spirit-filled, Word-filled brothers with him to pray with him. I'm telling you that if God calls you into a ministry, it is so helpful if you've got prayer warriors who will pray before your service, during your service, and for you all week long. There was a famous evangelist. People met for 2 hours before his services. Every time he preached, Wednesdays or Sundays, and they prayed the Holy Spirit, and then another group prayed all the time he was having a service. By the way, if any one of you don't have anything to do for God, pray about it. I sure could use some prayer warriors. In other words, I need people praying for me. Amen. And I'm asking, if God calls you to do it, I don't get paid, you don't get paid, but God will reward us all.
Amen.
24. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends.
He's got a house full of people there. They all want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, a real man of God not only gets his household saved, but he wants his friends and everybody else saved. Oh, for the day when the parking lots filled and Wickham Road and Sun Tree Boulevard packed with people wanting to hear the word of God. Let it be.
Amen.
25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him.
He didn't know, but maybe Peter was some kind of a, you know, man of God from heaven or something.
26. But Peter took him up and said, stand up. I myself am a man.
Worship God.
27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together.
He sees all these people wanting Jesus. Wow.
28. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is of Judah to keep company or to come to one of another nation.
In other words, it's against our law. God told us not to be unequally yoked, because remember, everybody except the seed of Abraham were pure heathen, and they worship kind of gods. Now, the reason he said nation there is important. That proves that that wasn't about food, because that word nation means people of another god, of another kindred, of another family. Don't forget, Satan's got children. So he says, it was always, we would say, it was unclean for us to worship with someone of another god. Understand? So that proves that sheet had nothing to do with food. It was an allegory. It wasn't about food. It was about people.
But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean.
Praise ye the Lord. You see, all lives matter to God. Red, yellow, brown, black, and white, they're precious in his sight. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All lives matter to God.
Amen.
I pray you a blessing.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. What a timely message and what an awesome teaching tonight.
Thank you.
Let the church rise up.
David left his stuff in the cart. Zeke put his stuff in a bag. What is Scott's stuff?
As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them under her wings, so the Lord alone did lead. Deuteronomy 32:11.
Oh, I love that one. That is so great. Thank you, Scott. That's a beautiful Scott stuff. Absolutely. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick, but first let me pray for those of you who might not be saved. Like Cornelius, you can be saved. Pray this with me. Mean it from your heart, and God will save you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Anoint
me.
Give
me the gifts of Holy Spirit.
Use me.
To win many souls to Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, any of you who prayed that, confession is made into salvation. You may confess to me. My announcer in a little bit is going to give you my number. I invite you to call and leave that message on my voicemail. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. In the name of Jesus, where a part of your body has been broken, wounded, invaded, in the name of Jesus, let the laser beams of Jesus go into that area. Let new cells be recreated, new tissues come back, bones in the right place, muscles, nerves, tendons, the blood circulate. Be made whole. Be made whole. Be made whole. Whoo! Absolute perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, no overaction or inaction. Broken bones, be made strong. Anything missing, be recreated. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Yes. He sent his word and healed you. In the name of Jesus, he heals all of your wounds. You shall not die but live and declare the works of God. Pick up your bed and walk in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, you know, nothing is given to us to keep, so go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you and I really love you that you love the God I love. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet
God bless
of Truth.
You. This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth. Won't you join me as we pray for America? Praise the Father, praise the Son, Praise the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, we come before you now, your people, humbling ourselves, seeking your face, turning from our wicked ways to pray for the United States of America. Father, we have sinned, and we ask that you will forgive our sins. I ask in Jesus' name that the Spirit of the living God will pour out a spirit of conviction all over America, in all 50 states, in every house, in the businesses, in the churches, and in every street and corner of America, that there be a conviction of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And I ask, Father, that you will draw us to call on your name and be saved. And I ask you will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land, Father, as you promised in your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Thank you, Father. And now, Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up to you President Donald Trump. We thank you for him, Lord. We know that you have placed him for such a time as this. We ask that you will protect him. Shamar President Trump about air, land, or sea. Let him live and let him not die. Restore his strength as the eagles. Renew his youth as the eagles. I ask that you will give him sweet sleep. Let his body feel good. Anoint President Trump with the Holy Spirit. Fill him with your word. Guide him by your Holy Spirit. Let President Trump be wiser than serpents and harmless as doves. And I ask, Father God, that if there are any more traitors around him, trying to pull another coup on him, let them be exposed and deposed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask that you will cause President Trump to be reelected as President of the United States by a landslide majority, both of the Electoral College and the popular vote. Thank you for him. And let him be a part of turning this nation back to Jesus and the Bible. Let Jesus be the Lord of America, the Bible, the book, in Jesus' name, a holy land one more time. And Father, I'm also asking you to touch all of the people in America, especially your people called by your name, Christians. And I ask they will also vote that the House of Representatives get back on the right side, Republican right. Let us take that House back from those socialists and communists who hate us, and let us maintain the Senate. Let all of the government be the government of Jesus Christ, from the Constitution, which is from the common law of England, which is from the Bible. Give us victory in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm asking that you will reform the Church of Jesus Christ in America. I ask you to bring all of your church together, one accord, no discord. Jesus is Lord. Put each one of us in our right place, no one missing, no one broken, encouraging one another. Let us give up the divisions and the denominations, and let us make Jesus our real Lord. Let us give up the pride and the movie star business in the church and the begging for money. And let the word of God be rightly divided, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Let the Holy Spirit lead and build your church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it. And let the Church of Jesus Christ in America come together now and take back this country from the enemy, from the socialists, from the Marxists, from the communists, from the political system of the Antichrist, and make Jesus our Lord and the Bible our book, and let us be holy and free. And Father, I'm asking you to reform the educational system in our country. This is a good time, Father. Let the schools get back like they were originally. Let that all of the schools, Father God, have Christian teachers, and let each day begin with the teacher reading the red words of Jesus and praying in the name of Jesus with a pledge of allegiance. Let our children be taught the true history of America. Father, have mercy on this country. I ask you to save us and heal us and make us free again. Rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Oh, Father Jesus, Lord of America, Bible book, protect us by thy might, O Lord God. And that's not all. Oh God, that we are asking you keep us free. We ask you that you will be glorified in this nation, that the cross of Jesus Christ will be lifted up above America, and the whole world will know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, thank you for hearing this prayer. And I know you hear me always, and I ask you to please do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask a thing. We thank you. We love you. God save America, and God bless America, and may America bless God in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, everybody out there listening to me now, Jesus says, if two or more agree touching anything, it shall be done. Let us all say together, I agree in Jesus' name. Let's say it, America. I agree in Jesus' name. Thank you, and I love you. And I'll see you next time with Trumpet of Truth. God bless you.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
It's not so much that we forgot. that we remember and are cold, and pay too little mind to the voice of God. Still we dare to be so bold.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music.
Praise it.